This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Senate Commerce and Energy is now in session. A few reminders this morning. I would like to ask everyone to please take a seat if you haven't already and have your phones turned to silent. If you plan on testifying today, please make sure you sign in at the back of the room. Also, please prepare to have handouts distributed to the members of the committee through the pages. And lobbyists, please have your badges clearly visible. And welcome to those that are joining us online. We encourage participation remotely. Please contact us through senatecommerce@sdlegislature.gov. Lastly, a reminder that all testimony and questions will be addressed through the chair. At this time, I'd ask the secretary to please call the roll.
Senators Foster. Nordstrup.
Here.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Stalzer. Steinhauer.
Here.
Tobin.
Here.
Zickman.
Oh. Here. Sorry about
we'll
that.
Put you on Zickman. Wheeler.
Here.
Crabtree.
Here.
Sir, we have six present. You have a quorum.
We got Senator Tobin here as well. At this time, the chair would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of our last meeting. It has been moved by Zickman.
Second.
Seconded by Wheeler. Take a voice vote on that. Those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. The minutes are approved. At this time, I'd ask the pages to please come up. Tell us where you're from and where you're headed.
Good morning. My name is Macy Chapin. I'm from Summit High School, and my future plans are to attend Lake Area to be a physical therapist assistant.
Thank you.
Summit Eagles.
Hi, everybody. My name is Gwen Nichols. I'm from Huron, and I plan to go to USD next year to study political science.
All right. Thank you.
Go Tigers.
That's our quote of Huron. That's our quote of Huron people with Senator Wheeler in here. Yeah. All right. Let's just talk a little bit about the agenda today. We will hear SB 162. We are deferring SB 65 and SB 53 until Tuesday. There is an amendment pending there, and I would just kind of give you a little overview on that. First of all, I would like to say thank you to the governor for her vision on where we're heading with career housing, and working with the legislature to keep that a priority here. And so we've got a high-level agreement put together that puts $100 million in the LIP grant with GOED and $100 million over at South Dakota Housing. And so we'll have the details of that hopefully posted either later today or on Friday for the amendment. So with that, we'll hand this over to Senator Wheeler to go from there.
Okay. Give me the agenda there. So, we are now on Senate Bill 162 to revise the discretionary formula for reduced taxation of new structures and residential property. We'll open it up for a proponent testimony. Senator Crabtree.
Thank you, Senator Wheeler. My name is Casey Crabtree, Senator from District 8 in Madison. I'll give you kind of a background on the discretionary formula and how we got here. This is one of the bills and one of the ideas that came out of the interim workforce housing study. And we found it found the focus to be really primary around how do we develop some policies that can help us get some more of this workforce housing built in our communities? Now, as we went through that, I think one of the things that we noticed is South Dakota has some great tools that it might just need to be enhanced or opened up in different ways so that we can utilize them more effectively today. And one of those areas was the property tax discretionary formula. There's two intents with this. Piece of legislation. The first is to allow a incentive that is maybe a little bit heavier to incite somebody to go ahead and and build some workforce housing based on this formula. The other piece was to allow that decision to be made locally between the counties and the cities. There's a structure there now, and this would allow a city to enter into that and enhance that a little bit, because it's going to go from 5 years up to 7 years. And so if you ask how we got to 7 years on that from an existing 5 years, we've been working with the counties for a while on this to find something that also worked well for them. And so the original idea from the workforce housing study was really focused around a 10-year plan, and now we're looking at a 7-year plan as something to try to come alongside where they're at. And so that kind of gives you a broad overview of where we're at. I'm sure there'll be much more to come from here, and I stand by for questions. At this time, though, I would like to move the amendment 162A.
So moved. Second.
Thank you.
There's a motion from Senator Steinhauer, second from Senator Schoenbeck for 162A. It is posted. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed say no. Motion carries. We're now on 162A as amended.
Thank you. I think we still talked about the intent of the bill from there, and I'll turn it over to some others to talk about the specifics.
Further proponents on Senate Bill 162 as amended.
Good morning, Senator Wheeler and members of the Senate Commerce Committee. My name is Roger Chase, State Representative, District 22. I was the chair of the summer intern workforce housing study that we did last summer. And our objective, our challenge was just to come up with ways that we can help people develop and build more property across the state of South Dakota. One of the things that we heard repeatedly was property taxes on new construction of property. And I can tell you from past experience on different properties that I have built in the past, when the discretionary formula was offered, it made that project much more feasible and one that I could become palatable and move forward with. So we encourage your approval of Senate Bill 162, and it would be a great opportunity to stretch that from 5 years out to seven and allow that progression of property taxes to build over a longer period of time. So it's something that many of the people that testified was in agreement for and really wanted to see materialize. So we hope for your assistance at that point right now. Thank you. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. For their proponents on 162.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Julie Johnson. I'm a lawyer from Minna Lake, just west of Aberdeen, and the registered lobbyist for a whole lot of groups in and around this topic, but I think we'll represent the Homes for South Dakota group today. They are all or almost all of the nonprofit housing groups that do business all across South Dakota. We are very grateful for the leadership of Representative Chase and Senator Crabtree and the entire committee. Several of you all also served on the interim committee. My clients were positioned to be able to do a lot of research in advance of those summer study meetings, provided a lot of testimony at all of the summer study meetings, provided some very detailed recommendations, and we're thankful for the time you gave us during that process. The discretionary formula, I would just take a moment to describe it to you. There's a lot of people who haven't had experience with it that may not understand how it actually works. When you use the term discretionary formula, you don't know what the heck that means. I can assure you that it is not discretionary at all. When a local government decides to allow the discretionary formula in their jurisdiction, it's not discretionary. They have to apply it to all other similarly situated property. It also just phases in the property taxes on the new investment. So physically, that's how it works. I've been privileged to work with lots of projects that have been able to use the discretionary formula over time. It is not uncommon also for the discretionary formula to be used in South Dakota's housing equation. In recent years, commercial and residential units of four or more of full and true value of $30,000, they were added a few years ago to the eligibility in the discretionary formula. New affordable housing structures of four or more units of a certain percentage percentage of AMI I won't bore you with today, are also eligible courtesy of legislative action in the last few years, and new residential structures within redevelopment neighborhoods of full and true value of $5,000 or more are also eligible. So the legislature does continually revisit the mechanism in and around the discretionary formula and has added value to how it can be applied to the housing equation. We believe that expanding the number of years over which your property taxes would be phased in to these kinds of projects to 7 years will add value to our ability to get our arms around our workforce housing shortage all over South Dakota. I'll be happy to stand by for any questions. Appreciate your support. I know there's others in the room. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Good morning. Denise Hanslick from Del Rapids. I'm also the executive director for South Dakota Multi-Housing in the state of South Dakota. We represent over 36,000 units of multifamily throughout the state. And, you know, our construction costs have increased anywhere from 40 to 50% in the last 2 years. And anything that we can do to decrease an expense, with real estate taxes being one of those top expenses for property management, anything that we can do to decrease one of those expenses is well worth it. So we are, do stand in support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. We also rise in appreciation of this bill. We think it's a very good measure. We understand it may not be perfect, and I think we're going to end up being working on it a little bit more to get a little some of the details figured out, but it is in good shape, and it's certainly a good idea. The Summer Study Committee was just a really good, sharp committee. They put together a package of bills that I think are excellent, and so you'll see us here on this one and more in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Tim Doherty. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Home Builders Association, and we too support this legislation. As some of you who served on the committee may remember, I brought a bill to the committee this summer for a 10-year discretionary formula, and following the committee hearings, had conversations with Senator Crabtree and he worked with other interested parties, and now you have the bill that's before you, and we think it's a very good compromise. Others have talked about the increase in the cost of construction projects for housing, and that's something that's of great concern to the home builders. One of the things that builders building new projects experiences after the project's constructed, and you know, then they have to start making payments on the construction loan and the property taxes that have increased because of the improvement to the property. And so this concept of expanding the discretionary formula from 5 years to 7 years will greatly assist builders in easing into that expense. And I'd also just add, while I agree with Ms. Johnson's comment about the discretionary formula being discretionary, I think it's important to keep in mind that it is discretionary in terms of whether it's applied at all. A city or a county is not required to do this. They do it at their option and their discretion as to whether they think it makes sense for their particular community. With that, Mr. Chairman, thank you for your time, and I'd be happy to stand by for any questions of the committee.
Thank you. For the proponents.
Good Good morning, committee. My name is Anna Hayes, and I am the public policy director for Elevate Rapid City. We lead the economic development and business efforts in the Black Hills region. We also stand in strong support for Senate Bill 162. Currently, Pennington County has a five-year baseline discretionary formula for affordable housing that we adopted at the end of 2019, and it's worked very well. We're currently working with the county to apply this discretionary formula across some other different structures in the region, like our commercial residential structures downtown. We're excited for the opportunity that Senate Bill 162 offers to expand the flexibility of this tool and incentivize development at the discretion of local governments, kind of to Mr. Doherty's point there. We do like that counties and cities can make this tool work for the development that they want and that they need. We commend the legislature for leaning on this tool as an area to expand flexibility so our developers have more financing options to support future housing developments. This is a good policy change, and we encourage a yes vote on Senate Bill 162. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Deborah Owen from the Greater Sioux Falls Chamber of Commerce. I'm VP of Government Relations. We rise in the support of this bill, but we also want to take a moment to really thank again the work of the interim committee over the summer, traveling to each ends of the state and taking day-long input from our leaders and leaders to our sister city to the west and everything in between. Thank you for your work and for finding answers. That's hard to do. We appreciate that you're already committed to this 9 weeks here, and you spent a lot of your summer on the road. So thank you for your work. It's a good bill. We support this bill.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, David Owen, South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry, my profound respect for this concept, sponsor of the bill, chair of the summer study, and especially the previous speaker. We support the bill.
Thank you very much. Further proponents? Seeing none, we'll move to opponent testimony. Are there any opponents for Senate Bill 162?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the Senate Commerce and Energy Committee. My name is Mike Howieshell. I'm the General Counsel for the Department of Revenue. We do rise in opposition today, and really, although we fully understand, you know, the motivation behind the bill and fully appreciate the need to incentivize, you know, more workforce housing in South Dakota, we think there's a couple of issues with the bill that we'd just like to bring to the committee's attention. Really some pretty significant policy changes on how the discretionary system would work in South Dakota. So just a little bit of background about how discretionary formulas work today. So currently, counties can establish any formula for the assessment of specified real property that accounts for any, all, or none of the full and true value of the property for purposes of taxation over a five-year period. So the typical scenario is the county will adopt a discretionary formula, for instance, for industrial or commercial structures that are newly built within the county. They will often say 20% of the full and true value is taxable in year one after construction, 40% in year two, 60% in year three, 80% in year four, and 100% in year five. That's kind of the standard formula you see. However, as the statute currently reads, it's any, all, or none of the full and true value. So you do see counties sometimes say 0% for 5 years is subject to taxation, or they could pass a discretionary formula that says 100% is taxable for 5 years. That's really the discretionary component of the formula. As Mr. Doherty said, it's up to the county or in some instances the municipality whether or not to adopt a discretionary formula, and they can set those percentages anywhere between 0 and 100% under current law. As Ms. Johnson mentioned as well, you know, it is important to bear in mind that if the county or the municipality adopts a discretionary formula, it has to apply to all similar properties within that jurisdiction that is constructed after the adoption of the formula. Counties or municipalities cannot pick and choose which properties to apply the discretionary formula to if they decide to adopt one. So Senate Bill 162 significantly alters how counties could adopt discretionary formulas for the three types of housing that are included in the bill. And those are commercial residential that have four or more units, affordable housing apartments that have four or more units, or residential structures that are within a redevelopment neighborhood that's been created by the county or city under Chapter 11-7 of the code. Senate Bill 162 would change the formula for those types of properties and say that it would be over a five, or instead of a five-year period, it's over a seven-year period, and no more than 25% of the assessed value could be taxed in years one through two after construction, no more than 50% of the assessed value in years three through four, no more than 75% in years five and six, and then 100% in year seven. So, under this bill, a county could adopt a housing discretionary formula of 25, 25, 50, 50, 75, 75, 100. They could do 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 100, or they could do any combination of percentages in years 1 through 6 as long as they don't exceed those caps that are put in Section 2 of the bill. So, really, from my perspective, it takes some of the discretion away from the county and would mandate that if they do a housing discretionary formula for these three types of housing properties, it has to fall within the confines of Section 2 of the bill. There's one other significant change in the bill, and this maybe is more of a concern from our perspective, and that's on the first page of the bill in Section 1, where it says that counties can now adopt discretionary formulas for different political subdivisions within the county. So they would not have to say, okay, here's the formula that applies to all similar property within the county. The way that I read that new language is the county could say, okay, we're going to have a discretionary formula for commercial property in you know, this municipality that's zero for 5 years. We're going to have one in this other municipality that's, you know, 50% for 5 years. We're going to have a different one in another municipality that's 20, 40, 60, 80, 100, which is the standard. So I think there's a concern there from my perspective that, you know, now the counties would essentially pick and choose winners depending on what municipality you're located in within the county. And you can think about how complicated this could get really quickly. So, for instance, in Minnehaha County, they could have a different discretionary formula in Sioux Falls, in Brandon, in Del Rapids, in Garrettson, in Hartford, in Crooks, and so on and so forth. That is a big change to the current policy. And if I'm reading it right, it's not just for those housing types. It would be for all types of discretionary formulas. The county would have that flexibility to set different formulas in the different political subdivisions within the county. I think there's some fairness and equality of taxation concerns that come up under that scenario. So while we understand the general intent of Senate Bill 162, which is to incentivize workforce housing, which is obviously a laudable goal, I think, you know, there's some big policy questions like I just described. Should the counties be stripped of the discretion to adopt a formula for housing that includes any, all, or none of the full and true value for a five-year period? Should the formula be altered to permit counties to set different formulas for all types of discretionary formulas for each political subdivision within the county? A couple of other more minor concerns that I just want to bring up after we've reviewed the bill closely. In Section 2, there's language that talks about how a municipality can adopt a formula, quote, not fully adopted by the Board of County Commissioners. And it's unclear to us exactly how that would work mechanically. Currently, if the county has not adopted a formula for a specified class of property, the municipality can come in and adopt a formula for that type of property, and that happens very frequently. So, for instance, even with the housing classifications that we're talking about here this morning, like I mentioned Minnehaha County. Minnehaha County does not have a general housing discretionary formula, but various municipalities within Minnehaha County have adopted their own discretionary formulas to address commercial, residential, or affordable housing within their communities. That's already allowed. I'm not clear what it means by saying if it's not fully adopted by the Board of Commissioners. I understand if it's not adopted what they can do, but if it's not fully adopted, I'm not sure exactly how that language works. And that's something I think we should probably clarify. Section 4 of the bill adds some language to 10.6.141. And it says that the boundaries of a redevelopment neighborhood need not be contiguous. First off, I'm unclear on what the purpose of that is, but maybe, you know, maybe the bigger concern is I'm not sure necessarily whether that language is added in the right section. The formation of redevelopment neighborhoods is governed by Chapter 11.7, so I don't know if that language, if in fact, you know, that's good language, should be in 10.6.141. I think maybe it would fit better in the redevelopment neighborhood chapter of the code, but, you know, again, I'm not exactly sure what the purpose of that is. When you think of a neighborhood, it's contiguous, right? It's a designated geographic area that has contiguous boundaries, so it seems to be kind of changing the concept of what a redevelopment neighborhood is. And then the last kind of concern that we have in Section 6, this was really just a form and style change to 11.920, and that's the statute that gives DOR the authority to establish the base value of a tax increment financing district. And so I think the current language is fine just how it reads, and in fact, I think it's a little more forceful in that it states that the base value determined by DOR shall constitute the tax increment base of the district. I think the amended language or revised language, even though it's form and style, kind of waters it down a little bit, and I think the current language probably should just stay as it is in the current law. So, Mr. Chair, with that, you know, I just wanted to bring up a couple of the concerns that the department observed when we read 162. Granted, fully understand the intent of the bill, and you know, if in fact the bill, you know, were to move to the floor, I would hope that we can continue to have those discussions about some of those areas. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further opponents to Senate Bill 162?
Mr. Chair, member of the committees, Brian Burge from Beersford. Engineer, you know, concerned about politics and how it affects the average person. And don't at all get me construed that I don't support the realize we have a challenge with places for people who work every day to live affordably. However, everyone on this committee did swear oath to a constitution, which states, to the end that burden of taxation may be equitable upon all properties, and in order that properties which may be subject to taxation, that no property shall escape. Do not be fooled. This is a way to say that some people will pay less and will shift the burden to those who will pay more. If you look at the case law around that particular chunk of language, saying that all taxation shall be uniform and no taxation shall be uniform all properties of the same class, it's gotten whittled down throughout the years. In 2002, Pennington County went and said, just because a rancher owns dirt on one side of a county line and they have ours, only thing that matters is their county border. It has to be equal within that county border. Then got broken down to townships. Now they want to make it so that a county board of supervisors can make a political subclass have their own taxation rate. So we've already gone from needs to be uniform across the whole state, go through the courts, gets down to the counties, and now we say, well, we want this city to win. We want this person to win. But does people outside the city limits also pay taxes for their kids to go to the same school inside the city? Make it be very, very careful if you do use taxation as a way to drive winners and losers, be careful not to lose vision of the Constitution that said taxes in general should be uniform. If you make an exception for it, have good reason, be very careful with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further opponents to Senate Bill 162? Seeing none, we'll proceed with rebuttal.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do appreciate what the Department of Revenue had shared today. We've been working with them for a while in this and including this morning. So I think that will continue on. So when we talk a little bit about the discretionary formula, you know, the locals still have that discretion. Yes, in this, we were wanting them to incentivize that even more because we want to see this adopted in more places and we want more incentive to put up more career housing. When we look at Section 1, I think this actually allows more flexibility for the counties and also encourages the ability for the county and the municipality to work together. So I think that's part of the key part of that new language is they can work together on that, which is something we want to see. We want to see all of our local jurisdictions working together to help put up more career housing. So I think that's a good thing. And so, you know, furthermore, as far as addressing, maybe this makes it complicated because we have other ones. Well, I would have loved to see in the commercial properties cities also follow this. Unfortunately, there's also a big group that doesn't want to see that. And maybe we'll have those discussions in the future. But just because we've got some that are focused on housing that are 7 years instead of five, you know, I guess I'll put my trust that that our folks at the counties can do their job and handle that. And then when we go back and we talk about not fully adopted, that just means when a county, if a county were to adopt this, but they wouldn't adopt it to its full ability, they might just put something in there slight for that first year and then run it at 100% every year after. That's what the not fully adopted means. So we're, again, encouraging locals, if they choose to, again, cities and counties to adopt this, that it's in a formula that's aggressive enough to make a difference to get some new housing built. And then lastly, just to touch base on the non-contiguous, this would allow a municipality to adopt different areas at one time so people know which areas are in that redevelopment area. You know, I think about my particular community, they might select downtown and a certain other neighborhood at the same time. So you could look at those areas and the developers could know, hey, these areas are in that discretionary formula will apply and go forward from there. So I think those are reasons behind that. With that said, we want to continue to work with the Department of Revenue. Hopefully you guys can support this, and we would iron out some of those details with an amendment prior to it hitting the floor. So stand by for other questions.
Thank you for that. So that'll conclude the testimony portion. I'll open up to committee questions. Senator Steinhauer.
Mr. Chair, I can't resist having the chair, the prime on this bill, escape without me asking some questions. I appreciated the comments from the Department of Revenue, and I hope you do continue to work with them. One of them, Section 2, is an area that is much more prescriptive. I know it stretches it from 5 out to 7 years, but why did we get more prescriptive? Because as I understand in his testimony, currently it's any, none, or all, and here you've got caps at 25, 50, 75, and so on and so forth. Can you explain why that decision?
Mr. Chair. Thank you for the question. What we're looking to do there is, although they have that discretion, now they still have it. They can run zero at more. We're just saying, here's the base. And so we want to encourage that. What we saw, Senator Steinhauer, during the study is a wide range of how these were adopted in particular areas. And the discussion was, how do we get something that maybe sets what that bar would be, tell them that they could be more, or they could choose to be more aggressive if they want to on that.
Further questions? Follow up? Any committee questions? Seeing no questions, we'll close in the testimony and move to committee discussion or action. Does anybody have any discussion or action? Senator Zickman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Move to pass.
Second. It's a motion for do pass by Senator Zickman. Thank you, Senator. It was a do pass as amended motion from Senator Zickman, second by Senator Schoenbeck. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing no one seeking recognition, we'll proceed to vote. The motion again is do pass as amended on Senate Bill 162. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Foster. Nordstrom.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Stalzer.
Aye.
Steinhauer.
Aye.
Tobin.
Aye.
Zickman.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye.
Crabtree.
Aye.
8 yeas.
Senate Bill 162, having received a majority vote, will go to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Then that is all for our business for today. The remaining calendar items have been deferred to Tuesday. Is there a motion? Any further business? Seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn? Motion from Steinhauer, second from Stalzer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. Motion carries. We are adjourned.